Today's shir is for schus, for shalom, for ben bracha tarafu shleima. Today's shir is mesechta ksubis daf tzadik tes, and we will begin on daf tzadik ches our beis, seven lines from the bottom. We had asked a question, the Gemara had asked a question in the previous shir, where somebody had asked a shliach to sell a lesach, a half a kor of property on his behalf. And the person, instead of settling a lesach, sold a kor. What is the halacha? So the Gemara tries to answer this question based on something we learned in the Mishnah Toshma. Haisa ksuba samana, if a woman is entitled to a ksuba of a mana, or machra shava mana v'dinah b'mana. If she sold a property that's worth a mana and a dinah for a mana, the machra betel, the sale is void. My love. Isn't the case that the sovereign shava manavadina. She didn't undercharge. She sold a piece of property that's worth a mana and a dinner for a mana and a dinner. And what does the Mishnah say when it says that she sold it for mana? Doesn't mean that she undersold. It doesn't mean that she sold something for less than it's worth. What it means to say is that she's only entitled to a mana. And even though she was only entitled to a mana, she sold property that was more than a mana. And our Mishnah is teaching us that if she did so, the sale is not valid. Why isn't that valid? Because she was only entitled to sell a mana of a dinner, a mana. So we see from our Mishnah that if you sell more than you were supposed to, more than you were entitled to, the sale is void. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is trying to say, that she just sold more than she was entitled to say, so what's the Mishnah trying to teach us? That the sale is void. She's not entitled to that much, says the Gemara. What the Mishnah is teaching us is, Shafili hi ameris, even if she says, achsas adina, I had no right to sell that much. So he says, I'll return that extra dinner to Yarshim, but dinner makarki, I'll give them back that dinner of makarki. The loch is that it's still not valid. So we see that if you do what you weren't appointed to do, the sale is void. Says the Gemara. From here we have a raya that if you don't do exactly as you were told, the sale is void. Because Viktani, our Mishnah says that if you did this, a machra batel. And as the Rishonim teach us, the Mishnah is assuming that the wife, that the amana who's selling property of the shlich of the yisaimim is to be considered like a shlich of the yisaimim. And since she's to be considered like a shlich of the yisaimim, that's why the sale is void if you didn't do exactly as you were told. Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Nosson Loi. There's no raya from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about Bida Oizel, where she sold a piece of property for less than it's worth. That means she sold a piece of property that's worth a mana of a dinner for only a mana. And since she didn't sell it for the proper price, that's why the sale is void. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even if she's willing to make up the loss, it doesn't make a difference. But as the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain that way, Hamad the Sefer B'dozel, Haresha B'dloy Ozel. If the Sefer of the Mishnah is teaching us that if she sold property less than it's worth, the sale is void, so the Resha, where she sold property, can't be the same case. Because why would the Mishnah need to tell me the same case twice? And the Gemara explains what it means. The Tani Sefer. The Sefer explicitly tells us, if a ksuba is worth 400 zuz, mach lezeb mana, she sold the piece of property to the first person for a mana, ulezeb mana, and then to a second person with a mana, ulachan yofim mana v'dinah mana, and the last one she sold the property for that's worth a mana v'dinah, but she only received a mana for it. The halacha is shalachra macha batel, the last sale is void, v'shekula mechan kayim. All the other ones are valid. So we see from the Sefer that when she sold it, when she undercharged for the property, that the sale is void. So why would we need to teach in the Reisha that if she undersold, the sale is void? Why would the Mishnah have to teach us the same halacha two times, that when you don't sell for the right amount, the sale is void? Says the Gemara, Loi, Reisha is safer but Eizel. I will explain, says the Gemara, that both the Reisha and the Sefer are referring to a situation when she sold, where she sold the property for less than it's worth. The question is, if that's the case, why do we have to teach the same halacha twice? Says the Gemara, Sefer Kamashmon, because the Sefer is teaching us, Sefer the Oizel B'di Yasmi, that if she undersold the last piece of property in order to complete her ksuba payment, and now the Simon don't owe her any more money, because as we explained, she sold all the properties. So that turns out to be a real loss for the Simon. Abdidah. But if she sold the property where she is not going to be finished getting paid off, where the Simon will still owe her money even after she finishes. So even after the sale, the Yisoyim was still owing money. Abdida, if she sold property overpaid for the property, but the Yisoyim still anyway owe her money. So what she caused the loss to the Yisoyim, there the sale is not void. What we will do is we'll deduct that overpayment from what is owed to her. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that only if there's a hefsid, only if there's a loss to the Yisoyim is the sale voided. But if there is no hefsid to the Yisoyim, then the sale is not voided, says the Gemara. But that halacha, we can learn that if there's no loss to the Yisoyim, then the sale is not voided. That halacha, we can learn from the beginning of the Mishnah. Because at the beginning of the Mishnah it said, if her ksuba is worth 200, and she sold a property that is worth 100 zuz, and she got $200, or she sold a property that's worth masayim for a mana, the skabel ksubasa, the sale is a valid sale. Now, she's the one that caused the loss, and the Mishnah says, since the Yisoyimim don't have any loss, that's why the sale is valid. So we already learned that then, that if there's no loss to the Yisoyimim, the deal's a good deal. Madatema answers the Gemara, yes, we learned this halacha in the Reisha, but we still need to learn it again in the Sefer. Because in the case of the Sefer, where she sold the property to many people, we would think that even though she overpaid while she still owes money, the halacha is madatema, and we would say only in the Reisha where she overpaid, but now she overpaid, but she's out of the picture. So we would think that only in a case like the Reisha where she's completely out of the picture is the halacha that if she overpaid, it's her loss, but the sale is not voided. However, her Madatema Hassam, in the case where she overpaid, but she is finished with the assignment, Hassam, who the Stalakle Mahay Bais Lagamri, where she's no longer owed any money, that's why, as long as the assignment won't have any loss, that's why the sale is considered a valid sale. Aval Hacha, where she isn't completely paid off, Nigzamana Rishnatamana Akron, because as we've been learning, only if one of the original pieces of property were overpaid is the sale valid, because they owe her money anyway. But if it's one of the later pieces of property where she's not owed money, then the sale is invalid. So maybe we would say that if the last sale where she would overpay, where the son will take a loss, there the sale is voided, then we would think that even when the case where the son will not lose, but maybe we should make one that sale should be voided as well. Kamash Milan, no. Where it represents a loss to the assignment, the sale is voided. When it doesn't represent a loss to the assignment, then it's not voided. Dikadamri, halay de bailach. Some say there is no question Hechad Amalei Zil Zabmalei Liska V'Zabmalei Kora. In a place where the Meshaleich told the Shliach, sell for me a Lesach. And he went and sold a Kor. The Vadai Moisev Al Dvar Havi. That's obvious that the Shliach, that the Shliach is not considered voided. He just did what he wasn't supposed to do. But the Lesach that he sold is a valid sale. Ki Tabaylach, where does the halacha have a question? Damle zil zabenli karav ozva zabenli lischa. Where the seller told him, sell for me a kar, which has two lesachs, because a lesach is a half a kar, and he sold only a lesach. Mai, what will be the halacha then? Mi aminim, amle the tavlach of the lecha. Can the shliach say, I really did you a favor? The leimatzuch lezuzu leimatzus hadribei. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. People don't like to sell real estate. They only sell real estate because they're desperate for the money. So maybe if I only sold for you a Lesach and you got the payment for the Lesach, that may end up being enough that you shouldn't need any more. So I actually ended up doing for you a huge favor. And that's why the halacha is the sale should be a valid sale, even though I didn't do what you asked. A Dilma, or maybe the person who I'm selling on behalf, could tell me, Amalei could tell the Shliach, Leinichli the Lifshah Shtar Alavoy. Yes, you could make an argument that you did me a favor by selling less, and maybe that will satisfy my monetary needs. But also, on the other hand, it may, but what it will create is that I'm going to have many buyers. If I sell now a lesach and then I'll sell another lesach, that will make that I should have many shtars. And there's a number of reasons why a person wouldn't want to have many shtars on him. One reason is because it puts out a reputation on him. It causes that he should have a reputation that he owes, that he's desperate to sell his property. That's one pshat. Another pshat, which is very similar, that people are going to pay him less for his property. When people see that you're anxious to sell your property, people are going to say you must be desperate, and therefore it's going to devalue your property. Another pshat that I saw is the more properties you sell and the more documents that you have means that you're going to have to hold all of those documents. And therefore, the halacha is that maybe then the say that's why the person who sent you to sell a kor and you only sell a lesach could argue that's not what I asked. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that this is the halacha. Since the seller could say leinichali the lifshish tar levai, I'm not satisfied there should be so many documents as we just explained. The halacha is the sale is not a sale. So the Chassam Sofer, the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Orech Chaim. Orech Chaim Simon Kuftes says the same halacha would be by mechiras chametz. If somebody asked a shliach to sell his chametz to a goy, and the shliach only sold some of his chametz, the sale is not a valid sale. But I saw there are achronim that disagree with the Chaim Sofer, and they say, in this case, the Gemara just gave a very good explanation why a person would not want to divide up his property and have many buyers for his property. But in the case of the chametz, for every kezayis chametz that you own on Pesach, you're over by your raw by your matzah. And for every kezayis chametz that you sold, you avoided that iser. So even though you may not like to have many customers, but you're still better off having many customers than being left in a situation that you were where you're left with a situation where you're going to be over on more kezaisim by matzim. There's an interesting shaila that the Cheshuk Echem discusses, where somebody had an apartment, and he asked the broker to sell the apartment. And the broker saw that this is an apartment, which is a very large apartment, and it's a big apartment, and it was not in a neighborhood where wealthy people who could afford to buy such a big apartment were interested in buying apartments. So the broker sold the apartment, divided the apartment, sell it half and half. And the question is, the seller Can the seller argue that I didn't want two buyers, I wanted one buyer, as our Gemara says? So he says it depends on what was your agreement with the broker. And if the agreement was that you gave the broker full authority to do with this property whatever is necessary to get it sold, then he says, then even though the broker divided the property, which was not your intention, the halacha is the sale is considered a valid sale. Amar Chanina Masura. So the Gemara wants to answer this question. Where I was told to sell a car, and I sold a lechsach. Tashma. The Mishnah Masechta Mila teaches us, Daf Chof Aleph Amar Aleph. Nosan loy, if the owner, the Mishaleach gave the Shliach Dinah Zov. A Dinah Zov is six kesef, slime of kesef, and which is 25 dinri kesef. And he told him, Amalei Haveli Chaluk, buy for me a garment. And as we discussed in our previous year, that even though normally in halacha, the rule is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, when it comes to Mi'ila, if I fulfill what the Mishaleach told me to do, then the Mishaleach is the one that violates Mi'ila, not the Shliach. And the Shliach went and bought him a garment, B'shalosh, B'chaluk, three of these Saloyim he used for a garment, and Shalosh and three Saloyim he used for a talis, Shnei Malu. The Mishaleach was Mo'il, because he gave me instructions to use Kegdish money for a different purpose. And the Shliach did Mi'ila because he wasn't asked to buy a talis. And since he wasn't asked to do what he was told, since he bought something he wasn't told to do, there he can't blame it on the Mishaleach. Now, makes the Gemara's point. If we say with the Shliach did not do exactly what he was told, he just did partially what he was told, it's still considered oisish lechusoi, that he fulfilled his shlichus, and moisav advar of hava, it's not considered that he did shliach, that he violated his shliach, but he just did more than he was told. That's why we understand why the Mishnah over there teaches us mishamachi balabayis mo. That's why we understand why it's considered that the balabayis did mila. Eli amrit, if I don't fulfill what I'm told to do, even if I did something for the benefit of the Mishaleach, but if I don't do as I was told, it's considered as if I'm not doing what I was told, so then why is it considered that Baal Bais did Mila? He didn't do Mila because his instructions were not fulfilled. Answers Gemara, Hachmai skin this lay shavashesh b'shalosh. In this case, the Mishaleach did not lose out, because what I brought for him was a garment that's worth that much. So he didn't lose out. I just got a great deal. So ask the Gemara, so if I just did a toiva, I just did a favor for the Mishaleach, that I was able to get him a chaluk, which is normally worth six slime, and I was able to get it to him for three slime, so what did I do wrong? Why does the Mishnah say that the Shliach was moil? Yehachi asked the Gemara, why is it considered that Shliach am I mo'l? Says the Gemara, a talis. I wasn't asked to buy a talis, and the Mi'ila is that I bought the talis. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're explaining that Mishnah, Yehachi Eim Sefer. Let's continue learning that Mishnah Masechta Mi'ila. The Mishnah says, Rehuda Eima, Ach Bezeh, in this case, Baal Bayis Loi Mo'l. The Baal Bayis did not do Mi'ila, Nei Sheyoch Loimer, because the Baal Bais could always say, I wanted a nicer garment. And you brought me a smaller garment, not what I was looking for, says the Gemara. But if, as we just said, I was able to get a great deal, and I was able to get a garment that's worth three sloim for six, that's worth six sloim for three sloim, so what did I do bad? My ra, says the Gemara, ra bedomim. He says, the Mishaleach could say, Domalei, he could always say to me, the Shliach, I isli b'shis, if you would, yes, you got for three sloim, a garment that's worth 6 sloim. But you could, if you would have spent the 6 sloim as I asked you to, Kashkin Davashav is 33, then you could have gotten something for 12 and you would have been better off, because everything is proportional. And by you doing what you did, you didn't do me any favor. Because if you're able to get bargains, you should have spent 6 and gotten a garment for 12. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says the Mishaleach is not considered that he was moil. Daikanami. And I bring a raya that says the Gemara is the proper way to learn that Mishnah. The Tani Moed Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chama B'Kitnius, where the Mishaleach sent the Shliach to buy for him a certain amount of beans for a seller. And the Shliach was able to get that amount for Chatziseller. And with the other Chatziseller that the Shliach was left with, he bought something else. There Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Shnei Malu. Why? Shekitnis b'Seller v'kitnis b'Prutna. The price, buy a garment, there's a concept that you can get a good deal on a suit. And you can get a more expensive suit for less. Kitnis are beans. There is no such a thing getting better kitnis or worse kitnis, getting a better bargain or not better bargain. The price is firm. And since the price is firm, so if I was able to get you the amount of kitnis that you want, but I was able to get it for you at a better price, that's not my mi'ilah. That's certainly your mi'ilah. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said that both will have been considered that they did mi'ilah. The Mishaleach did mi'ilah because the Mishaleach did Mila because I, the Shliach, did what he wanted. I just got him a better price than he ever expected. And the Shliach did Mila because he spent money that he didn't want. I bought something that I wasn't asked to buy. That says the Gemara, Hey Chidami, ask the Gemara, what is that Mishnah talk about? Elaim asked the Mazan Mishuma, if it's a place where kidneys are sold, not with a firm price. Hech the Yalav Seller says tomorrow, on the contrary, the more I spend, I'll get a better deal. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, as we explained. This is speaking about a case, Ba'asra the Kaili B'Kane, which it's sold at a certain price. Kana is a type of a measure. Damle, Kana V'Pruta. There's a firm price, and if I somehow was able to get it at a great deal, it's not my Mila, it's the Mishaleich's Mila. So we're still with our question, where I was asked to sell a kor and I sold a lesach. Is it considered that I did my shlichus, or is it considered that I violated my shlichus, therefore the shlichus is voided? Tashma, it said in our Mishnah, if the ksuba is worth 400 zuz, machla zeben mana, and she sold it to the first person for mana, l'zeben mana, for the second person for mana, lachan yofa mana v'dina b'mana, and to the last person I sold a mana v'dina b'mana, shul achron bottle, the last sale is voided, shul kulan, all the other sales, mechron kayim. Now, in the case of the Mishnah, the amana is the shliach of the assignment to sell a property that's worth 400 zuz. And what she did was that the shliach didn't do what the shlich, what she was told. And since she didn't do what she was told, the Mishnah says that the sale is still a valid sale. So we see that even if you didn't do what you was told, the shlichus is good. Says the Gemara, we're going to learn later in the Gemara that Rav Shesh explains our Mishnah that she sold the four pieces, she sold four properties that are not next to each other, and they're not really valid. No, so what happened was, instead of selling it to one person, she sold it to four people. And still the Mishnah says the sale is valid. Why? If you didn't do as you were told, and as we said earlier in the shir, if she is considered a shliach of the assignment, so if she's considered a shliach of the assignment, why is it considered that she, if she sold not in the way she was supposed to, that it's not mevatel the shlichus? So the Gemara, our Mishnah speaking about the Katina. Each one of the fields are small, and they're separate, small, separate pieces of property. So there was never intention that they should all be sold to one person. Since there was never an intention that they should be sold to one person, that's why it's not considered that when she sold it to these four separate people, that there's a violation of the shlichus. Pshita, says the Gemara. It's obvious. Omar, If somebody, an owner who owns real estate, tells a shliach, la'echad v'loy l'shnayim, that he said expressly, I want you to sell this piece of property to one person and not to two. So there's no question that he was given instructions, la'echad v'loy l'shnayim. And therefore, that even in the case that we've been discussing, where I was told to sell a kor and I sell a lesach, where we've been learning there's an opinion that it's a valid kinyan, here it certainly wouldn't be. I was given specific instructions to the contrary. And there's no question that that is considered that I violated my shlichus. But the question is, he just said, sell it to one. What is implicit in the word one? Is it implicit that the person who asked me to sell it to one person meant to say, loy l'shnayim, that he doesn't want it to be sold to two people? Or he just said lechad because that's the way you normally talk, but not that he specifically instructed me, I don't want to. Says the Gemara, amachloikas amaroyim, how to look at this situation. Rav Huna amar lechad l'shnayim, we interpret that you meant lechad v'loy l'shnayim. Rav Chisda v'Rabbi Rav Huna damri tavayu lechad, even though you use the word lechad, it can mean I feel a shnayim, lechem feel a meyer. You weren't limiting to how many people you meant that I should sell it. Says the Gemara, ikla, and as the Rishonim explain, because since you weren't explicit, you're showing that you don't really care. Ikla Rav Huna l'sur, Rav Nachman l'sur. So the Gemara says Rav Nachman once came to Surah, all gabei Rav Chisda v'Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna came to visit him. I'm like Yigav Namai. Again, this question that we just raised, where the seller told me le'echad, and he didn't expressly say loy l'shnayim, and I, the shliach, actually went and sold it to l'shnayim. What is the halach? Amlu le'echad? When you said le'echad, you meant you would prefer that I should sell it le'echad. However, what you also meant to say was, if I can't find echad, afil l'shnayim, afil l'meya, lech afil l'meya, you don't care. Amalei, afkav the shliach. What's the halacha if the shliach undersold the property? He sold the property for less than he was supposed to. So the Gemara, that's a whole different conversation. Amalei, Rav Nachman said, that's a different situation. The tall shliach, if the shliach sold it for the wrong price, then of course, like Kamina, if he didn't sell it for the right price, then of course the sale is void. Amalei, so Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna said, how could you say there's a wrong price by selling property? Vamamar, as we quoted in our previous year, the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph teaches us, Eina Nola Kakos, that even though, as we're going to be discussing in our shiurim, the halacha of Eina, if you sell something for the wrong price, by karka, by real estate, there is Eina. Because real estate doesn't have a firm price. Because anything that can't be replaced doesn't have a firm price. If a bottle of milk, if I don't buy it in this store, I can buy it in the next store. But real estate is unique where it is, what it is. And since every piece of real estate is unique, that's why the halacha is there is no firm price for real estate. And that's why it is halacha ain't a nolaka cause. Other Rishonim say it doesn't really apply on a svara. It applies on Gzeres HaKosov. There's a Gzeres HaKosov that teaches us, the Torah teaches us the halacha of Eina, and the same Torah that teaches us the halacha of Eina says that by real estate there is Eina. So how can we say that if I undersold it, that I did the wrong thing? There is no Eina by Kaka. Answers the Gemara. If I sell a piece of property that I own, and I sold it, I overcharged, I undercharged, says Allah ain't an olaka cause. Avo to shliach, if the shliach sold it for the wrong price, the person who sent me as a shliach could tell me, I sent you to do good for me, not bad. And by selling it for the wrong price, you didn't do it as shliachus. Says the Gemara, where do we see that there is such a distinction between shliach lebalabayis? The Tanan says the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "I'm l'shluchai." If somebody tells, there is a machlokes rishonim, as we're going to discuss in Hilchos Anah, that the, when we speak about Einar, there's a difference when the overcharge or undercharge is a sixth, or more than a sixth, or less than a sixth. When we use this concept that the Meshaleach could tell the Shliach, L'tkuni shedaticha v'loy la'afsi, is that also in this case? Or in this case, we don't say, is it also in this case that matters how much of the discrepancy of the price was? Or because we're using a new svara, we're using the svara of tikkuni shatatich v'loy la'afsi, then even if the, no matter how minimal the wrong it was with the wrong price, we say that the deal is voided. Machlokes v'shoinim. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara Tanah, the Mishnah says, I'm l'shluchai. If somebody tells a shlich, say v'troim, take off truma from my produce on my behalf. So we know that the Torah doesn't give a specific formula on truma. And the Gemara says, the Rabbanan established a 40th is a generous person, a 50th is an average person, a 60th is a stingy person. He does it as the Baal Bais would want. He estimates what would this person who asked me to take the Truma on his behalf want. But let's say I don't know. So it should take the average amount. If I took 1/40th, or I took 1/60th, the halach is Trumasai Truma. It's still considered a valid Truma. Because the shliach could tell the Baal Bais, since you didn't give me clear instruction, this is what I do. So we see that he could do that. He, even if he misunderstood, this, the deal is a deal. Vilu gabi Baal Bais tanya tarm for all biyodoi. If a Baal Bais takes truma by himself, a filo me'echad mesrim. Even if he took a truma of a 20th, trumasi truma, it's still considered a valid truma. So we see that there's a difference between a mistake made by a Baal Bais and a Shliach. A Shliach only gets a mistake of 10. And a Baal Bais, there is no such distinction. So we see that if somebody told a Shliach to sell something and he didn't do what he was told, he could be selling to Kuni Shadatich V'loy La'afsi. Tashma, Hoysuk Subasa Abba Meizuz, we go back to what we learned in the Mishnah. Now, almana, as we keep on saying in our shir, is the shliach of the yisoimim. They didn't tell her to sell it to one person or to many people. But if everybody wants, as we're learning in our shir, only one customer and not more than one customer, and therefore, if she sold it to more than one person, that's considered a violation of Ashlichis. So why is the halacha the Mechron Kayim? Why is it valid if we assume that he only wanted me to sell it to one person and she sold it to many people? Says the Gemara, as we learned early in the Shir, Amar of Sheshabre, Davidi Bekatini, our Mishnah speaking about four small, separate pieces of property. There it's obvious that he doesn't care. There it's obvious that he doesn't care how many people it's sold to. And therefore, the sale is a valid sale. So as we learn from our Gemara, if somebody authorizes a shliach to buy a field for 100 zuz, and the shliach pays 200 zuz, the sale is void. Because he didn't do what he was told. And since he didn't do what he was told, the sale is not considered valid. But the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says that the sale is void only if the shliach informed the seller he is buying the field on behalf of Reuven. If the shliach did not mention that he's acting as a shliach, and he represented as if he's buying it himself, says the Rambam, since in this case the shliach acted as though he was purchasing the field for himself, we can't nullify the sale just because the meshaleach's instructions were violated. And the sale stands, and the meshaleach keeps the field, and the shliach has to pay for the amount that he has to reimburse that overpayment to the mishaleach. There's another case that we've been learning, that if Reuven asked the shliach to sell a lesach, a half a kor of land for him, and the shliach disobeyed and he sold the whole kor, the Gemara says that even though the shliach was not authorized to sell an entire kor, the sale of the car is somewhat effective as far as the lesach concerns. And the Rosh explains that the sale of the half car is subject to the buyer's approval, since he was misled into believing that he was buying a car and he's only going to get a lesach. So the buyer could say, well, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a big piece of property. I didn't want a small piece of property. Says the Karban Usano, but according to the Rambam, if the shliach in this case failed to mention to the buyer that he's selling Reuven's field, then the sale would take effect for the entire car, going back to what the Rambam says. Because even though Reuven did not intend to sell, the Mishaleach did not intend to sell an entire car, since the shliach sold it as his own property, so the buyer didn't do anything wrong, and the only thing that the seller, the mishaleach, could do is he could go back to the shliach and say, you have to pay me because you sold something that I didn't ask you to sell. The Mekar Baruch disagrees, that he says, since there's a halacha that ain adam moicher davish ein shloi, a person can't sell something that doesn't own, so even if the buyer, in this second case, was under the impression that the shliach owns the property, the shliach still can't sell it because the shliach can't sell property that he doesn't own. And since the shliach can't sell property that he doesn't own, everybody, including the Rambam, would agree, even though the shliach misrepresented the facts, the sale would be null and void.